Blog Talk Radio.
Too many have died. Too much hate. There's still hope for tomorrow, but something has to change now.
Not tomorrow, but today. Something must be done. What we see cannot continue. Our ancestors paved the way, and now it's up to us. We've been given trust to make a change. What kind of world will we leave to our children?
There's no more time to wait. No, this is our time.
It's your call to action.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station.
Amen. Amen. A call to action. Stand up. In other words, we have to do something, because if we don't, things will stay the same or get worse. But I was always told that if you stay somewhere, you leave it better than when you got there, because or you leave it more full than when you got there or when you used it. It's like borrowing a car and bringing it back on empty. We don't want to do that. We want to show our appreciation for what we have. So we want to we want to fill it up with gas, you know, just to say thank you. And so we have to look at how are we going to leave things for our children or, you know, the next generation to come. You know, we don't want to leave them the way they are, because things are just all over the place right now. We got to straighten it out as much as possible. It's our call to action. We do have to stand up, and we stand up with the Word of God. And so I just want to thank you for joining us this evening. And you're listening to Every Man Standing in His Place. And I'm your host, Reverend Jeffrey Scott. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And tonight we are going to have a good topic. We're going to have a good topic, and I'm going to have a special guest to come on. But first thing I want to do is I want to start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening just thanking you. We thank you for this opportunity to come to your throne of grace. We thank you for this opportunity to go out on the airwaves, Father God, to give an encouraging word to people that are feeling down or just need some type of encouragement, Father God. We just pray that what we say can touch somebody in a positive way, can help them live out their life as God has called them to live out their life. Help them to understand that all challenges that come aren't meant to be bad, but they are meant to make us stronger, Father God. And we just ask that you just continue to lead us and guide us, and we pray that all that will be done and said will be pleasing in your sight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. And so our topic that we're going to be talking about, well, let me just say we have a very special guest who's not really a guest, but he's part of the Spirit Alive family. And he has a show with that comes on, and it's talking about college professors. It's talking about education, you know, and things like that. And so, you know, we just appreciate having him on here today, you know, kind of explaining a few things about how to remain positive in all opposition. And the guest tonight is going to be Professor Sylvester Carl Henderson. And so the first thing that I want to do is I want to really talk about how we can remain positive in all opposition. You know, I was reading in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. It says, But now you yourselves are to put off all these: And it starts off, it says, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And so we see in the way that we can put these things off, all the negative things or the negative responses to something or someone that may rub us the wrong way, you know, we have to rely on God's word for that. We can't rely on our own self, because the first thing we'll do is we'll get angry. The Bible doesn't say don't get angry. It says be angry and sin not. So sometimes we get to a point where we're angry, but what do we do at that time? We have to understand that we have to always think about God's word first, and that's how our that's how we get renewed. We study God's word. We try to get it in us, and we say, like the Bible says, that thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so if we have enough of God's word in us, that's gonna be what's going to come out if we are having some sort of opposition. That's going to be what's going to come out in opposing times. You know, we really have to understand the right way to be, the productive way to be, the constructive way to be in opposition, because it's easy it's easy to get upset and try to put someone down. It's easy to have that mindset, because the thing is that you know, sometimes we get mad and we allow that old man or that old woman to come in and give the reaction that they want, or the reaction that we used to give. But if we have God's word, then we can give a godly response. If we have God's word in our heart, and it says according to the image of him who created him. So, in other words, we want to try to look like Christ in all of our endeavors. In everything that we do, we want to acknowledge who God is. The Bible says that we, in all thy ways, acknowledge him and will direct your path. So we have to really look at, if we are acknowledging who God is, then we're going to allow God to go before us in all of our conversation, in all of our actions, in everything that we do. Because we don't want, we want people to see who God is through our action, because that's what God wants. We're not trying to block people from seeing who God is. What we're doing is we're trying to allow people to see the goodness of God, regardless of the person, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of anything that's going on that's challenging. you know, you may have some challenges with a neighbor, or you may have challenges with a friend. You may have challenges with family. You could have challenges anywhere and with anyone. But what is, we have to look at what is our response to the challenge. What is it that we are trying to get someone to see in this challenge? You know, again, it's easy to give the expected response or retaliate against someone for doing something to you in a negative fashion. But it's like, you know, we have to show love. I was talking to my wife earlier today, and we were talking about when people treat you a certain kind of way, but you killing them with kindness, and you showing them love, and they don't expect that. How do they then respond? You know, it's hard to respond with hate if someone is offering you love. You know, and when you think about it, it's like we really do have a challenge with that, because the first response of the flesh is that if somebody's mad at me, I'm going to be mad at you. If somebody's talking about me, well, I'm going to talk about you. That's how the flesh works. But the flesh dies daily, and we grow in Christ, and we get better and better in Christ, and we see that God is not a respecter of person, so we are no different than someone else. Is if our circumstances are different. So when I look at how, you know, to remain positive from this standpoint, how to remain positive in all opposition, it's easy to read it, and it's easy to see it and say it, but when you're in the middle of it, that is when it becomes the problem. You know, I had to learn a tough way because of the simple, because when I was going through an issue on my job, and I had to learn that what God was trying to do with this issue on my job was he was trying to draw me closer to him. And so the more I was having the problems on the job, I would go deeper and deeper into studying God's word, reading God's word, trying to figure out what is my reaction supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to answer these questions? What am I supposed to say? You know, it was a tough thing, but I had to remember that before all of this had came about, I prayed to God, and I asked him, I said, I want to have an in-depth study, God. I want to have an in-depth study. Here I am thinking that I'm going to, you know, find a theological school and, you know, go there and learn everything that I, you know, that I want to learn and all of that kind of stuff. And God says, no, it's not going to be that way. You're not going to go to a school of theology. Not right now. This is what you're going to do. You're going to get to a point where nobody has any answers but me, and you're going to have to come to my word and find those answers. You're going to have to come to my word and study to show yourself approved unto me, a workman that needeth not be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it when you are dealing with your troubles in life. Don't be ashamed of it, you know, when there's struggles. Don't be ashamed of it when there's opposition. Because, see, the thing is that God wants us to be the vessels so other people can understand, so that those that don't believe, those that don't know, can understand who he is through what we do, through our actions. But we always have to attribute it to that God is the one that led me. God is the one that allowed me to be this way. God is the one that led me to be this way. So we point it all to God. We give God all the glory. Because again, you know, if somebody was to do something in a negative manner to anyone, you know, the flesh is going to want to retaliate. But that's not what we're supposed to do. So we learn daily. But I just wanted to bring up that scripture, and now I want to bring our guest on, our special guest, and we're going to be talking about how to remain positive in all opposition, because, like I said, it can be said biblically and it can be talked about biblically, but you know, when you know someone that has been in some serious opposition, and they can explain, you know, different situations of how they got through it, that helps out a lot. That encourages a lot. So right now, I want to bring on our special guest, Professor Sylvester Carl Henderson.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I am once again grateful. Reverend Scott and his wife know I love their family like they are my own family. So I want to thank both him and his lovely wife for asking me to come on and talk. But I want to give a special thanks again before I begin to just expound. This is such an emotional topic to me, especially. I want to thank Bishop Cook, my dear sister and friend. Her heart and her willingness to allow persons to, especially people of color, to come on and talk about some of their challenges, it's just one of the greatest gifts, because in the heart of especially African Americans, so many African American people die, and their mm-hmm. heart is full of nothing but pain, and they have yeah. nowhere to go to be able to express their feelings and their thoughts. And, you know, people sometimes have heart attacks, and they have just real trauma-filled lives, because no one will really hear their voice and hear their mm-hmm. inner spirit. So I want to thank Bishop Cook for making her radio platform available to all. So from my Amen. Heart to yours, Bishop Cook, I love you to death, and thank you again. You know, the topic that Reverend Scott came up with about how to really deal with opposition, it's a very emotional one, because as he was talking, I was kind of rendering over my many, many mega challenges in my own life, and I was also thinking about many other people of color that I know. And I thought, man, how traumatic it had to have been without God for people of color to come through slavery, and for women to be raped, and for men to be whipped and women to be whipped, and have nothing and no one depend on but God. And so the yeah. first thing I want to concentrate on is that in all opposition, we have to know that God has a plan for us to be delivered, and God has a way for us to find a positive land to land on in the midst of opposition. In higher education right now, and that's what I'm going to focus on, as well as your own personal life, in higher education there's an organization they call the National Education Statistics. I think it's the National Statistics for Educational Data. And it talks about how people of color only make up around 5% of the workforce. And we're talking about I think it was back in 2018, there were 787,000 college professors all over the world. And, you know, you ask yourself, why is it so arduous for people of color who have, you know, all the training that everyone else has, you know, that they go and educate themselves and get master's degrees and doctorate degrees and English, music, biology, and all these subjects. Why is it that they're not really represented within the system? Well, part of the real struggle is simply, from one of my dear scholars said, that they're not wanted. And think about the pain of a young man or a young woman who has spent their whole life, 15 to 20 years, giving up family, giving up just freedom, and studying to the point that they're ill, having debt among debt, and nowhere to find the job. But and they've done everything right. They've done everything that the book said. What pain that is. How can a person like that, Reverend Scott, remain focused when their life dreams and their passions have been shattered, when no one will give them the opportunity? That's the same thing as a person who has been, let's say, tried and they've gone to trial. As they've been found guilty of a crime they have not even done. There were three men part of a prison called the Angola 3, and all three of these men spent 45 to 50 years, and one of the men are still living. Their whole life was taken. Not only did they have to spend this time in prison, all three of these men were in solitary confinement for 45 to 50 years. How can they stay positive in the midst of having such extreme pain? How can all the mothers, when Bishop Cook played that song in the beginning, it touched my heart because I know the mother of Oscar Grant. How can Reverend Wanda Grant stay so positive in the midst of having her son taken? It's only through really focusing on God. Because I've come to realize that there are some questions in life that we cannot answer, and only mm-hmm. God can answer. And there are some things in life that we can't solve, only God can solve. There's not a book, there's not a psychologist, there's not a doctor that can help you but Dr. Jesus. You have to really learn, and people say that. But I can really say with many things happening in my life, especially something happened to me about 3 years ago that just really shattered my whole life. I had to learn that in the midst of me crying and having mega pain and disappointment, there was still no one there but God. But I learned from that. If you really learn to depend on God, I'm laughing, and really put your faith in and trust in God, God always has a plan. He always has a way. He can make it so that you can smile when your heart is cut into small pieces like cutting up a piece of meat. He can mm-hmm. make you laugh when you are a broke down poor. He can make you laugh when you have so much pain you feel like you're going having a nervous breakdown. But God is the only one can do this. A therapist can't do it. A therapist can tell you all the things to do, but a therapist can't lead you to Jesus Christ. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ that can help. I have learned that in all the struggles, when I talk to what we call young academics now, and they talk to me about the pain that they have for not being able to find a job, and the loan companies are calling and wanting payment, and they have a relationship problem, and they go and work in these jobs for part-time, and then they become 48 and 50 years old and can't find a job. And they say, what can I do? Well, you know what? I could go to the book and say, do what this psychological book says, but I always tell them you have to pray, and you have to know that God has it in control, because sometimes God wants us to be the pain bearer so that the next generation can be the person that benefits from joy. Everyone's life, I've learned, is not meant to be rosy. Everyone's life is not meant to not have no problem. Everyone's right. life is not meant to just, you know, be able to walk down a garden and smile. Some people are going to struggle their whole life. I have a sister who had a life of struggle her entire life, and it tore me up. But I remember when the Lord took her, the pastor of the church I've been ministering music of for almost 40 years, I remember something that he said. Sometimes in death, God is kind. That is him showing you love, because he's taking you from the he's taking you from a planet of corruption and pain. And that's the way we have to remember that all the things that we want down here are only temporary anyway. Is that
right?
So what if we don't get the job that we don't want? So what if we don't get the promotion that we don't want? What we should be doing is looking to really develop a closer relationship with God so that we can really begin to understand his real mission and plan for our life. And so to me, the real answer to the question, how do you deal with opposition? How do you remain positive in the midst of pain? You can read all the guides and go to Woman World and Ebony Magazine and Psychology Today, and they're going to have some good temporary solutions. But a temporary solution cannot heal a heart. Only God can reach down in your soul and heal a heart. So I am a strong believer that the stronger your faith is in God, even when people seem, even though when it seems to be foolish, even when people think that it is stupid to believe in God, because you can't see him. I always say, why not? A friend of mine years ago, before I give it back to Reverend Scott, he had a situation, I never will forget this, and I was a student in college. A friend of mine got into an argument and killed somebody. This friend of mine was asleep, and a drunk man came into his room, and his first reaction was to take a gun. He had a little bitty pistol gun because he was living in a really bad area. He was a very gentle man. His first reaction was to protect himself, and he shot a person. He could have been on death row, and this particular friend of mine was atheist. He would always tell me that I served the white man and that I didn't believe, I didn't understand what life was really about. And I remember going to see him every single Sunday, and all I said to him was, one of the times we met, I won't say his name out of respect, all I said was, you know what, man, you've tried a lot of things, but you've never tried God. Why don't you pray to God and ask God to help and touch the heart of the judge? And lo and behold, they were trying to give him the death sentence. But when he went to the judge not only found him not to be guilty, but the judge said it was self-defense and let him out. He was in the county jail for over 3 years, and this is the true, true story. Now, I'm not sure if my buddy, because I haven't seen in a long time since my college years, I'm not sure if he really understood what happened, but I know what happened, because he could have lost his life, but because he humbled his heart down and asked God to help him, God will. And that has been the story of my life. I won't go through all the areas of disappointment and joy. I've had a lot of success. But with that success in my life, right next to me has been an enormous amount of unbearable pain. So for every success I've had, and when you look at my resume, it looks like a president of the United States. It really does. It is quite a resume. But for every success has become a deep pain. And so I've learned that for every adverse, there's an inverse. For every good, there's a bad. But for every evil, there's God. And that if we really depend on God, he is the person that is the healer of our hearts. He is the one that we concentrate on. He is the one that helps us to understand how to smile when we want to cry. And sometimes when we cry, it's not crying of pain, it's crying of thankfulness. So my message to the radio community, and to confirm what Reverend Scott has said, is to put all your faith in God. Because when you put your faith in God, if everyone leaves you, and on the day of you going to see him, there's nobody next to you but God, you got the whole world right next to you. I love each of you. I'm turning you back into the Reverend Scott.
Amen. Thank you for all of that. That was great information. Great instruction. That was great teaching. I mean, that was teaching from experience and through life trials, you know, and that's what we really learn from. And even as you said, you don't know what happened with the guy later on if he truly understood. Sometimes, we got to know by faith that God worked in that. When God worked in that situation, he truly did see it. You know, when in the 8th chapter of Acts, when God told Philip to join himself to the eunuch, and the eunuch didn't understand what he was reading, he said, "How can I understand unless I have some man teach me?" So Philip was trying. He explained to him what he was reading, and he turned his life over to Christ. Once they came to a body of water, he wanted to get baptized right there. But then after that, Philip and the eunuch, they didn't see each other anymore. But he went off, the eunuch left praising God. And so, the thing is, we may not see it. We may not see it, but that seed, when it's planted by faith, we know that God touched them in a way that only God could, because that was an unbearable situation. That was an unbeatable situation, and God took control. God had control of it all. And so that's the thing. It's like when we have oppositions and things that are just beyond our control, and we turn them over to God, we see what he can do, when we move out of the way. But a lot of times we want to stay in the way because we want to get the last word, or, just because of self, we want to stay in the way. But if we just let go and let God have his way, we'll see that, everything works better in that way, because since God has control of it, he knows how to work it out. We just interfere and mess it up because we put our ideals into it. But yeah, it's always a tough thing. But as we learn and we grow, understand that the more things that we turn over to God, the better things will be. And like I was saying earlier, where the Bible says, "In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Now, we got to just be willing to follow God, in all opposition. Whether it be through education, whether it be through relationships, and, whatever it is. If we acknowledge God and who he is in the opposition, he's going to work things out. And so what I want to do right now is I want to open it up for questions or comments, anything that somebody wants to add in about.
Scott, I just want to add this in before we continue, that one of the challenges that we have is that God's ways are not man's ways, and the world is really, really busy in giving you strategies to deal with all the issues in life, but they're not giving you strategies to love God. And
right.
No one talks about God. And in every form of life, people don't really talk about God. And it's not that people don't talk about him, because even sometimes the people that talk about him don't live what they talk.
Right.
So it's just having an innate. I think that, of course, you have to read and understand what God says, but even sometimes people read and don't implement. I think it's just having what you would call a belief in God that seems to be foolish and silly, but yet that belief that seems to be foolish and silly is really the only thing that keeps you sane. People go crazy not because they can't deal with their problems, it's because they can't transfer their problems. And that's a profound statement. You can't, if sometimes people are in the hospital, not in the nut house, not because they can't deal with their problem. They haven't learned how to take it out of their lap and place it in the lap of God. Because the Lord
right.
Jesus Christ is the only one that can, he can handle all the world's problems like just a simple grain of sand, where something that is so much of a mountain to us is nothing to God. So I think one of the things that we have to pray and remind people to do is to transfer that stress, is to transfer that pain, and to not try to handle it yourself. That doesn't mean running around and telling everybody your business, but it means telling the main person your business, and that's Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because he'll always be there to listen. He'll always be there to understand. And he knows what you need even before you tell him. And that's the truth.
Amen. That's right. You know, my cousin, I was talking to my cousin Virgil, and he was telling me, he said, when you get to be older, you look back on your life and you would want to have preached, you would want to have preached God with your whole life. You would want to have taught God with your whole life, every second of the day. And then every once in a while, open your mouth and tell somebody about it. You know, in other words, live the word. Don't just talk it. You know, just live it in the way that God wants you to live it, and by you doing that, people will see who God is, and they can turn their life over to Christ, so they can start trusting God and learn about him, learn and then who he is. And so if that was it, I would like to open it up for questions or just
Amen. God bless you. All right, God bless everyone. If you are sitting in the chat room right now and you have a message that you would like to relay to Reverend Pastor Scott or to Dr. Henderson, please type it now and I will relay that message to them. If you are sitting in our studio audience and you would like to you have a praise, comment, or question, you are more than happy to voice that at this time. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number, and you will be live in the studio. Mother Matty Scott, good evening. God bless you, ma'am.
God bless you, Bishop Cook. God bless you. God bless you, Reverend Scott, and God bless you, Brother Henderson, and everyone that's tuning in. God bless you all. I tell you that these two gentlemen have really said it all. Reverend Scott, again, I'm proud of you, and Michelle Scott, Evangelist Michelle Scott, I'm proud of you all. Brother Henderson, you really gave the word. It's so true. Because like my mother used to say, I always talk about my mother. My mother had to raise me with my dad. My dad died when I was 5 years old, but she was a prayer warrior. You always told me, so Matthew, put the Lord first in everything you do. Whether you're doing right, whether you're doing wrong, acknowledge God in everything that you do, and he will make the impossible possible. And you're right, Brother Henderson, when you just lean and depend and trust in the Lord, he'll open doors that no man can open and no man can close. He'll make a way out of no way. And that man that humbled himself and prayed to the Lord was right there with him in the courtroom and removed all charges against him. God will make the impossible possible. When man say no, God says yes. I know that to be true. But we got to be sincere with God. And when we sincere with God will be sincere with us. And God bless you, Brother Henderson. You really did. You preached the word. You preached the truth. God bless you, Reverend Scott. You've been faithful. I tell anybody, you've been faithful. You've been faithful to Good Shepherd. You've been faithful to, above all things, you've been faithful to the Lord. God bless you, Reverend Scott. Love you, my sister Michelle Scott and family. God bless you, Bishop Cook. Love you.
Love you, Mother Matthew. The spirit
of my family. So love you. God bless you all.
Love you
Thank
too,
you.
Mother Matthew.
Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else have a comment, question, praise?
I just want to go back again. Bishop Cook and Reverend Scott and Jeff keep reiterating, and I want to thank the wonderful young lady that just spoke and just to thank her for her beautiful comments, but to just ask each of us to pray, that to ask people, especially during these tumultuous times right now, to ask people to really think about transferring their pain to God. The
Amen.
Question is, how do you do that? It seems so difficult, but it's really simple. Believe.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Apostle Zeta?
Yeah. Amen. I enjoyed the word from both of these men of God. The words I heard that really touched was trust, and that's trust in God, and pray, and having strong faith, because that is so important. I enjoyed Reverend Henderson, both of them, when Pastor Scott, Reverend Scott first began to share, he said some things that really, really were touching. And, when we go through different things, it's not always that we want to or even have to, especially when it has to do with dealing with other people. But we do do the right thing, say the right things, and yes, we get angry, but the Bible tells us not to sin. And so we don't have to act like the other individual, even if it's in our workplace or wherever the situation takes place, we can go to God and tell him about it. And it's Reverend Scott was saying to go to God, ask him about it. How do I handle this? What do I say? What is it that I need to know? Because oftentimes it's a test for us as people of God. I think it's Henderson, Reverend Henderson, talked about, shared even about his own personal pain and what he went through. And oftentimes, people can become successful, but you look at them and you don't really know the pain that they went through mm-hmm. and pressed through to get to where they are. It's always good to share our own personal pain when we have an opportunity, because it's a testimony in itself, and it lets others know that while they're going through their pain and suffering or whatever, they it gives them some encouragement in going through for themselves. And he talked about having strong faith, continuing in the faith, you know, about the temporary solutions that we can come up with can't heal, but God will and God can. And, you know, how important it is to pray. You know, how there are people that talk, but they don't always walk it out, you know, what they really say. So, you know, we have to really put our trust in God, not in people.
Amen.
He mentioned also that the Lord can handle all of our problems. You know, we can tell it all to Jesus. We can take it all to him. Praise God. So they were really on the same page, and it was good. It was the word came through both of them, and it was truly a blessing. I'm sure it was to me, and I'm sure to other listeners.
Amen. Apostle Holloway?
Praise God. We give God praise, glory, and honor. We thank God for the speakers of the hour. Dr. Henderson, we thank you. Thank God for the word. That God is faithful, to whom he will call unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful.
Amen.
To us. If we walk in this way, it's a trust in the Lord with all thine heart and give thine, and give not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It's not that he might direct thy path. If we go in our way, he might think about us. No, he's faithful to us. And if we trust
Amen.
Him, he's going to lead and guide us to all truth. And whatever you're going through, wherever you've been, whatever the situation is, because we know, Mom and I know for an surety, folks are trying to take us to court. And God told them, we stayed in the word. And the Lord came back and said, these Egyptians you see this day, you shall see them no more and forever. And we haven't seen them since then. A couple of them died. One got paralyzed, and one got reclaimed. So we walk in faith and believing and trusting God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So if we take this word, stand on the word, and walk
Thank
it
you.
Out, it may be hard, it may be rough, but God is still there because he loves us. He loves us, and he's not going to leave us or forsake us. He sent his Son,
Amen.
And his Son died that we might be reconciled back to him. So whatever you're going through, whatever the situation is, it turn to God. Dr. Henderson was talking about his friend. He said, you tried everything, but you didn't try Jesus. And as soon as he tried Jesus, when he went to court, the judge didn't know what he was doing. He said, I'm going to let you go. He would have been going on death row, and he would have been going to the electric chair. But God.
Amen.
God, he cleans your heart. And he knows you. He knows you. You seeking him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we thank God for the word. We thank God for the speakers of the hour, and we just we're trusting God for that, even through this pandemic. God said, "Don't worry about the pandemic. I got you." He said, "I'm gonna cover you. I'm covering you by the blood of Jesus. You don't have to worry. Because we walk it out. We do what the law says. We're supposed to wear the mask. We're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. And God's going to do the rest. So we don't have to worry about a thing. And God knows what he's doing. He allowed it to catch our attention. If my people, which are called by my name. If we turn to God, he's going to work it out for us. So we give God praise, glory, and honor tonight for the word.
Amen.
Amen.
Evangelist Scott.
God is...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Prophetess Kathleen. I'm sorry.
Oh, praise God. God is good. The word was good. I really enjoyed it. Pastor Scott, Dr. Henderson, it was just really a word of faith. We just really have to trust and believe God. And God knows how to get us pushed in there where we do trust and believe him. So I just thank God for the word tonight. I thank God for his word that we can trust and obey. And somebody wrote a song and said something, trust and obey, because there's no better way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you, Prophetess Holloway. Evangelist Scott, would you like to have a word?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. I want to just thank both of these fine young men for coming and just giving of themselves fine words.
Thank you, Jesus.
Men, but young and older men and young women and older women, I just thank God for blessing us in these times like these with men who are so bold to stand up for God and say, you know, I believe in God, and this is what I stand for, and this is what I do not stand for. And just to know that there are still some good, upstanding young men and black young men in our communities that will be there to mentor and to explain the things to our young brothers and sisters who don't quite get it and who don't quite understand it. They can come to them, and they can come to Professor Henderson, and he can let them know that, you know, education is out there, and I can show you how to get it. And God is there for all of us, not just for me, but he's there for you too, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So, you know, when you're having a rough time, you can go to him and you can put all your cares on him, and he'll carry that burden for you, so you don't have to carry it alone. And so I just thank God for these two young, upstanding men. And I just am very proud to call Reverend Scott my husband and Sylvester Henderson my brother. I love you both. God bless you. And God bless you, Bishop, for allowing them on the program tonight. God bless you so much.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Will there be anyone else? Amen. Amen. If that will be all from the gallery and from the chat room, I will return the program to you, Pastor Scott.
God bless you. Thank you again, you know, for allowing us this platform, you know, to express, you know, just how to have a relationship with God, how to, you know, just understand that, you know, being positive in all opposition, it's a struggle at times. It's hard at times, but we can do it. We can do it because God said so. Not because we said so, but because God said so. And so we just have to understand, we just turn it over to God and allow him. Once we see what he does with it, then we'll understand it. We'll understand it better by and by, like the song said. We may not understand why we're in a situation, but we will understand it better by and by.
Yes, Lord.
So I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. I want to thank you guys all for your comments. And I really appreciate it. Love you guys, and I pray that you acknowledge God in all that you do. And from our house to yours, we pray that you be ye transformed.
Amen.
And we bid you guys a good night. God bless.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Professor Henderson. I really appreciate you being on here.